So I thank you this morning for joining us in worship. Thanks for those who came out in their pajamas, and to the rest as well. Thank you for leaving for just a short amount of time. The tree and the stocking, the breakfast table, and the collection of family to be in worship this morning. Our bishop wrote back in November as she began to get inquiries about Christmas being on a Sunday. She wrote this: "The truth is, Christmas, real Christmas, has never been convenient. The birth of Christ came amid a time of political unrest. The Jews, an oppressed people under the cruel dominion of the Romans, a Galilean couple who made a 100-mile trek across rough and unpaved roads, a new mother-to-be perched on a donkey in the third trimester of pregnancy. Can you imagine? The birth event itself, in a rustic stable for animals, not exactly meeting our current codes of sanitary environments, a murderous and unbalanced king who seeks that child's life and who ultimately kills a swath of innocent babies to eliminate competition. Christmas is still inconvenient. And will always be. The coming of Christ ushers in a new paradigm whose purpose is to turn the world upside down, and not just a little. Inconveniently, we find ourselves gathered on a Sunday morning on top, I'm imagining, of your other Christmas plans for today. I was wondering myself how many of you remember going to Christmas services in years gone by. Any of you remember doing that? A couple. Okay. In some cultures, it's most important to gather on Christmas Day as opposed to Christmas Eve. Henry Nouwen, the great spiritual writer and Roman Catholic priest, tells the story of celebrating Mass in a Latin American country. He shares that he's celebrating the Eucharist and looks around and realizes he's surrounded at the communion table by baby dolls. All kinds of baby dolls. Small ones, big ones, elaborately dressed dolls, and utterly naked dolls, as sometimes happens. He realizes he's never seen so many baby Jesuses together in all of his life. He finds out there's a great tradition in many countries that baby Jesus has to come to Mass on Christmas morning. So as these families come to church, they bring with them their baby Jesus and lay it around the altar. Jesus, who is born into the world, the messiness of it, and not meant to just stay in a manger, but to be in the very places where we are, the messiness. The manger, of course, but also in the menagerie. I think the first time I heard the word menagerie, my mother was describing my dolls and my toys who were askew and disheveled in my room. This is not my room as a child, but it could have been. Nothing about a menagerie conjures up our images. Did you look like this morning? Nothing conjures up our images of Christmas card perfect. Menagerie is not for the properly dressed and the well-rested who show up on time and leave when they ought to. menagerie is for the rest of us who aren't quite as put together as we hope we might be. Menagerie is for those of us who wouldn't pass inspection or muster for that matter. Menagerie is for those of us who live in the real world. Menagerie was also for those who first came to see Jesus. Despite the airbrushing and gaslighting that's happened since, none of the original characters would have made it onto our sanitized Hallmark-style Christmas card. No. The menagerie of the first Jesus adorers, I'm thinking, were probably quite smelly and perplexed. They were probably outsiders who traveled great distances. You knew the ones. The kind who would show up late, probably overstayed their welcome quite a bit. I'm thinking of the Magi here. But Jesus was first attended by the animals. There's a great tradition about baby Jesus and the animals around this simple fact. And our carol we'll sing in just a bit centers on this tradition. The carol, The Friendly Beast, was written in the 12th century as part of the Fête de l'An, that is the donkeys festival, that was a part of the French tradition of celebrating Christmas. In this tradition, on January 1st, a donkey would be ridden through the town and into the church. Can you imagine a donkey going through the aisles of the church here? It would be ridden out of gratitude for carrying Mary to Bethlehem and then on to Egypt. The bishop at the time, Pierre de Corbeil, was attributed with composing this carol. And they ended each verse with "Hail, Sir Donkey, hail." So much appreciation for the donkey's role. The words we have today were republished in 1934. As we sing it, you'll notice we have the perspective of the donkey and the cow, and the sheep, and the doves, those who considered Jesus to be brother first, and Emmanuel second. Animals we probably wouldn't let in the sanctuary today, even though they served the baby Savior. The donkey, who has since found himself in all kinds of books and movies and songs. I found so many stories of the Christmas donkey, I couldn't fit them all on one PowerPoint slide. The donkey who carried the pregnant Mary to the stable and then on to safety in Egypt leads us to the question this morning, where are we carrying the vulnerable? The cow, who is known best for what he gave up, not eating from the manger for a while, fasting, we might suggest, leads us to the question, where are we giving up our bed, our food, so that others might eat and be sheltered? The sheep, who gave of his coat a wool to make a blanket, asks us the question, where are we giving up our coats and our blankets to those who find themselves cold? And the doves, who offer song and comfort, joining together with other doves, leads us to ask, where are we comforting the anxious and the concerned? Pausing at the manger, even when their space was invaded and hospitality was thrust upon them. So this morning, we pause at the manger, shepherds beside us, sheep behind us, angels above us, and menagerie all around us. We pause at the manger to worship and adore Jesus, the Christ, the Redeemer of the world. Then, we, like the animals, the friendly beasts, take our turn in serving how we see Jesus in those around us, caring the vulnerable, giving up our bed and food for others, sharing our warmth with those who are cold, and comforting the anxious. Our gospel lesson ends with that mystical contemplative verse, you remember the one, and Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Christmas is that incredible gift of God who is perfect coming to be with us who are less than perfect. A time truly of contemplation and reflection. Now I'm imagining contemplation and reflection is not the first thing you think of on a Christmas morning. It may be hard to have the din of the noise settle in for that quiet reflection. But even for those of us who live in the menagerie, there are moments of reflection so that we, like the shepherds, return glorifying and praising God. Very delicately, I ask this last question. Whether you imagine yourself, forgive me, as a cow or a donkey or a sheep or a dove, let this time of worship be a ponder and a reflection to see yourself in the salvific story of Christ, so that you might go on to proclaim and serve the one who has gifted us. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.